An interview with Steve Roof today on the Ultimate Ground Rules.
But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Welcome to The Ultimate Ground Rules, a podcast built specifically to encourage, empower, and strengthen the faith of coaches as they live out their God-given purpose to develop the next generation of leaders. And now, your host, Dave Pritchard.
Hello and welcome to The Ultimate Ground Rules. I am your host, Dave Pritchard. Thank you for joining the show today, and as always, if you would please take a moment to like, share, and subscribe to the show, or even leave a review, I would appreciate it as it makes the show easier for coaches to find. My goal is to reach as many coaches as possible with an encouraging word, and if you would help me accomplish that, it would be greatly appreciated. Recently, I sat down with Steve Roof, the head baseball coach at Madison Central High in Kentucky. Coach Roof has many years of experience coaching at the high school level, at the collegiate level, and even working with USA Baseball. However, Coach Roof is an even better man. In our interview, he shares his thoughts on the purpose of coaching, how to effectively reach athletes, as well as several tips for young coaches. I'm extremely confident that each of you will benefit from Coach Roof's wisdom, so grab a pen and paper and prepare to take notes as the Ultimate Ground Rules presents to you Coach Steve Roof. Guys, I'm here today with Coach Steve Roof from Madison Central High School in Kentucky. Coach, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, it's great to be here. It's an honor.
Yeah, I know. I got an opportunity to meet Coach Roof last fall and have been looking forward to getting him on the show. He's got a lot of experience. So, Coach, I think a lot of guys will get a lot of good stuff out of this.
Well, I hope so. I love, you know, I've learned a lot from you and everyone else, so it's always great to share.
First off, before I ask any questions, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you are and your school and how long you've been coaching high school baseball?
Sure. Madison Central High School is in Richmond, Kentucky, 20 minutes south of Lexington. This will be my 20th season. I started at Eastern Kentucky University, came up as a grad assistant, stayed a couple years, and just fell in love with Kentucky. I'm originally from North Carolina, so met my wife here and three kids. Having a lot of fun coaching baseball and teaching, and it's been a great ride.
Cool. Well, in that role as a coach, how do you see your faith intertwine with that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, you know, coach, teacher, father, it's all the same. To me, you know, I kind of go with the premise of love God, love people. My goal is to serve others and try to lead by example. You know, one thing I try to do with our team is just get them to care for each other. So I have to start by doing the same thing.
Have you felt like over your long tenure, has that become more difficult or not with kids and culture?
You know, actually, it's probably the opposite. My first 10 to 15 years, it was, you're going to do what I say just because. And then, you know, I heard Tim Corbin one time with ABCA talk about some of the things he's learned. And if he could go back, he would, you know, apologize to some of his teams. And it was transformational in terms of what I was trying to do. And it just changed. It was, I'm now here to serve you. I'm going to love you. And I'm going to help you grow as a person instead of just, we're going to win baseball games. That really has been a fun focus for me. And there's been several things that have helped me get there. Matt Degg's book and Inside Out Coaching, and obviously just scripture in general. You know, I met my wife, who's also really, you know, spiritual, and that's how we're going to raise our kids. So it's really been a fun transformation.
Cool. Well, you mentioned scripture there, and I know that the coaching profession is not an easy profession. Lots of ups and downs, highs and lows. And so, you know, as you try to go about your role and impact players and deal with those highs and lows, what kind of scriptures do you really cling to?
Sure. I mean, Matthew 22, you know, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with your mind. The first and greatest commandment. And then the second, love your neighbor as yourself. And really, it happened probably, like I said, several years ago. It was just that concept of love God, love people. And that's really all you have to do. And at Madison Central, our number one goal is family. And to me, that means loving your teammate, loving each other. There's times that love is not always easy when a player's not, you know, up to his potential. Sometimes love means getting on, yeah, on a guy or push them. But just that idea that God loves us and our job is to love God and love people has really kind of led me to do what I do.
How do you kind of balance that sense of accountability with, you know, trying to show love to your players? Because maybe that doesn't make a lot of sense, but I know, especially in a rural community where I'm at, maybe it's not the same where you are, but I'm encountering more and more kids that really, this is the only structure they have. And so when you try to hold them accountable, that's not something that they're ever used to. And so they may not interpret that or see it as love. So how do you kind of hold that in balance?
You know, I guess the first thing is I try to explain to kids is my job is to get them to do things they don't want to do so they can be who they want to be. And I just constantly try to teach that in terms of, and I just talk to kids constantly and I let them know that I care for them. But we have a goal, and that's for you to reach your fullest potential. And then once they kind of understand that you really are there for them, they kind of trust you. It's easier to get on them. And then, hey, that wasn't your best today. We can do better, or whatever it might be. You know, we also incorporate accountability teams. I got that from Coach Sweeney at Clemson. I have four captains at the beginning of, say, at the start of the season. They draft players. And if somebody on their team doesn't do something like wear the right shirt or whatever it is, and that whole team gets punished, you know, similar to like a boat crew or you know, I know several guys do stuff like that, but that helps build leadership. And that's that tough love sometimes and really using my captains to help kind of spread the word or the message of what we're trying to do.
I know there's some guys listening may think, man, that's a great idea. When you get those four captains, how do you go about divvying up players? Do they get to draft them or do you do that? How's that work?
Exactly. You know, I usually try to pick, you know, last year was two seniors, a junior, and even a sophomore. So I'm kind of already getting that leader ready for the next year. It's not easy for these guys. So they then go in a room and they'll draft them themselves. And I mean, they take a lot of pride. We've been doing this for a while and it's worked. We've had good teams over the last 20 years, but in the last five, it's really kind of clicked. Now, obviously, we've had some great players, but I think that family component might have been the thing that was missing in previous years, and they really understand that for us to win, we're going to have to come together as a team. Just great teams are the ones that get it done in the end. So they really enjoy that. I put a lot on the seniors and really on the players. I constantly ask them for feedback, questions about, hey, what did you like about yesterday? We did some things 2 days ago, and I was asking one of my infielders today, you know, how can we make that better? And that is kind of scary for probably a newer coach or someone just getting into it. But, you know, I've been doing this 20 years, and I have to have the kids on board, and I try to, you know, I try to work with them. Once, like I said, the understanding of player development is number one. And that's really how we've built our program the last 10 to 15, you know, 10, 15 years.
So thinking about those 20 years, one curious thing, I didn't prep you for this, but one question that I have is you talked about a few minutes ago, you talked about, you know, you started out, this is what I want you to do it my way because, and you shift now to this, this new method. And I'm just curious, was there a pivot point for you at some point where, you know, you thought maybe this isn't working or there's a better way? Was there an aha moment? How did that come about?
Absolutely. I can't remember the exact year, but it was after our tournament run at the end. And the players were really just kind of glad it was over. Like, there wasn't that excitement. And it just, you know, I had some conversations with some former players, and it was just something was missing. I don't want to say it was just about me, but it was, we're going to win baseball games, and that's really only our goal. And I never really got to know a lot of those players early in the year, in those early years. So, like I said, it was some of those moments sitting in church, or it might have been reading a book, but I said, this has to change. There's more to life than baseball, and relationships have to that really needs to be our priority. And it wasn't in the beginning. So the relationship piece, you know, like I said, love God, love people. That is what kind of inspired me. And the more I started to research and look, like I said, there was Tim Corbin saying the same thing. And there were lots of coaches out there talking about the relationship piece. And I think that's what kind of pushed me towards, like I said, this has to change. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to coach you hard and I'm going to push you. You know, I tell kids all the time, we're going to work extremely hard, but still have fun. So, we've added some components like, I don't know, things like the Halloween costumes or just fun things throughout the year. Not so structured and rigid all the time. It was almost like taking a step back and having a little more fun along the way.
If another coach asked you, what's unique about your program, what would you say?
That's a good question. You know, I think it's the accountability teams and really putting a lot on the players. I'll talk to the seniors and say, hey, this is what we're going to get done today. And you need to go tell them. Or, you know, in the off season, we do a lot of competitions, which a lot of teams do now. We've been doing this for a long time. But we're just going to play really hard, have fun. You know, we do a quote of the day, and that's how we started. Like, I'll email it out, or I used to text it out at noon, and I'll call on somebody, and they stand up, and I try to use that quote of the day to try to teach my point of that day. And it's not really baseball related. It might be, I don't know, how to perform a handshake, or, you know, make your bed, or how to treat someone, national anthem. And those things right there are just how we try to get our message across. You know, we read a book together. A lot of these things have been done by several. You know, we do a Christmas dinner where I take all the seniors out to eat. They collect money, and then we go surprise a family in need in the community.
Wow.
So I just started that years ago, and that's an awesome experience. It's, you know, reading books together. I recommend different things, trying just to find each person and develop an individual plan for each person. I don't think it's so unique from other teams, but it's just something that we really value. The culture is that buzzword, but it's just, we're going to be a family. And I think the best teams play for each other.
Awesome. I know you sent me some notes on books, and I'm a big believer in reading and trying to get your guys to read. I know this fall we're going through the book Extreme Ownership. But you know, what are some of your favorites and some that you think are the most impactful with your team that you've gone through?
Well, last year we used Chase the Line, Mark Batterson, and we got it from Coach McDonald at Louisville. I mean, I actually show a lot of videos as my quote of the day. Sometimes, like on our website, I'll just put a YouTube video. And our first one last year was the video of the year he lost in the 2016 Super Regionals. And it just talks about, you know, I'll just read it. It was saying it's a team game. We could have coached better. We could have scored a few more runs. We could have done a little more to win. And this program will be back. And then all of a sudden, it just starts into Chase the Line and all the things they were doing to get this work done. And as I did that first video, our kids really talked about run to the roar. And that was kind of their motto. And that just kind of took off. So I ended up buying the book Chase the Line. And I used a lot of my quotes last year in 2019 from that book.
How do you get guys to buy in?
Well, that's a great question. I mean,
a teenage boy is like, read a book, seriously.
Yeah, no. So what I do is I read it. Now, we were on our spring break trip last year, and we stopped in at a bookstore, and I just started showing some of the seniors. And I said, this would be a good one for you. Leaders Eat Last, to our catcher, Ben Stapp, who went to Eastern Illinois. And at the end of the season, we got, you know, we lost to the eventual state champion, but he was going out to eat, and he actually sent me a little picture of him standing in the back of the line saying, thanks, coach, Leaders Eat Last. And then for one kid, it might be, you know, a John Gordon book, The Energy Bus. Hey, you're pretty negative, so let's read this together. Or there's just several ways to do that. Now, at the beginning, like in January, February, I read a book, The Mental Game of Baseball, anything like that. And it's really, that becomes, hey, this is trying to make you a better player. But you're right. I have a different kid take a chapter, and he stands up there, and it's super uncomfortable. And some of them, I'm sure, are going, gee, what are we doing? But you have to just continue to say, hey, and there's many of colleges that do it. So I try to tie in what we're doing with Twitter, Instagram. You can find any, you know, college programs doing the same thing. So, I mean, like I said, Louisville used Chase the Line. That was kind of their thing. So it's easy for our kids to respect a program like that and say, hey, it must mean something. Just like John Gordon, the Energy Bus, you know, Coach Calipari used that a couple years ago. So it wasn't very hard to find a Kentucky basketball fan to say, hey, you're playing, you know, these players are reading this. Would you be interested? Sure, coach. So, I mean, I just have to try to tie it in. And I think that's really all of us. There's so much knowledge on Twitter and Instagram. I just think you have to now show this is why we're doing this. It's not just something that I think is going to work. And that's really what I try to do all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I even think that there's some beauty in the fact that if a kid doesn't really completely buy in, there's a lesson to be learned. And there's times in life where you're going to have to do things you don't want to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, you the same way, there's going to be about a third that truly buy in. Yeah. There's a third going, okay, I'll kind of check it out. And there's probably a third that doesn't agree with everything or doesn't believe. But one day this might work for this kid. And the next day it might work for this kid. So you're trying different things all the time and you're trying to reach every kid. There's no perfect science or we could make a lot of money. But I think the kids really respect that you're trying, and just, I tell them all the time, you know, I don't have all the answers. Let's research it. What is the best way? Especially with all the technology coming out. You know, last year we were doing blast motion. I had no clue on one of the metrics. So we just called them right there from the hitting facility. And I think the kids respect that you're trying to do things the right way and teach the game and make them a better person.
Well, one thing you had written down here that you had sent me was something about a senior spotlight. Can you tell me what that is?
Again, it was just that relationship piece. And we just started after, you know, I would do the quote of the day and I would want a senior to stand up, give me something that we don't know about you. So it might be one kid last year, I have a million baseball cards and that's what I love to do, or I fish all the time when, you know, I'm away from baseball. And some of the kids knew, but obviously the rest of the team, you know, I have a whole team there, JV, freshman, varsity, when we do that part of the practice. It was just get to know me for something other than baseball and try to develop that piece. And maybe I even ask them about it. And so I had a fishing tournament one day. We had an off day, so I just put on, we're going to do a fishing tournament. And well, they got excited. You know, they were telling their parents, hey, I'm not going to go do this work today. I'm going on the coach's guys doing a fishing tournament. So it was really fun. I wouldn't have known that if I wouldn't have done some of the player spotlights. A lot of it is really for me and the coaches, but they get a true kick about talking about themselves.
You've got obviously lots of years of experience, and I'm hopeful at least that there's some young coaches that are listening. And this is one question that I like to ask and just see what your wisdom is on it. But what do you think that players in general, especially high school players, what do they need most from a coach?
I think they need discipline. They need direction. They want to know why they're doing something. But I think you just have to continually work as hard as you can. And there's going to be decisions that you make that are unpopular, but you have to kind of step out, not be afraid to be criticized, which is really hard for a young coach, and just do the best you can. And like I said earlier, sometimes you're just going to have to say, I made a mistake. And just don't be afraid to just do what you think is right. I always say, like, find a mentor, which I think is huge, because, you know, you're just not alone. We've all been there in some crazy situation. Last couple of years, I've been telling the team from Matt Deggs, I need you more than you need me. And that really comes off strange to like a high school kid, but I truly believe that that's what keeps me alive and going, is just that value of team and us being together, going off and playing a game together, you know, and it's really it's another family. And there's times we're not going to get along, you know, for a new coach. I think that's just the hardest thing is to get people, like you said, how do you get kids to buy in on what you're trying to do? How do you make those tough decisions? And you are going to make mistakes, you know, huge mistakes.
That's one thing I tell my guys a lot too, is there's so many things that are more important than baseball. So as you're trying to impact that young man and you're trying to do all those things that you talked about, you know, here's a real question for you. You're still trying to win baseball games. So how do you maintain that balance, you know, in the thick of the heat of battle, you know, maybe when things aren't going well, how have you learned to maintain that balance?
Yeah, just trying to be calm, so to speak, and see the big picture. Sometimes you can actually learn from a loss, and no one likes to hear that. But, you know, failure is big. And I talk about that to my own kids. Do not be afraid to fail. You're going to either win or you're not necessarily losing. You're going to learn from your failure. Now, obviously, no one wants to lose more than they win. And that's a big part of it. And we've been lucky to win a lot of games lately. So that season where you're struggling, that's when I think you have to really dig deep. And I don't know if there's a perfect answer when you're losing, how to do that. But, you know, it's there. And sometimes, you know, the kids are watching you then too. So you just have to do the best. And there's going to be times in life that things aren't going to work out. And I try to talk about that a lot. I want you to be a great husband and have a great life. And I always talk about the best is yet to come. And I think that's important, trying to stay positive, even when things are not going your way.
That's really good. So how you take all those things that you're trying to do with the player, and then how do you, or what do you do maybe to try to get the parents on board?
You know, we meet and I try to tell them the vision at the beginning, and we'd have two big meetings. And if you look back at our, some of our better teams, the parents are on board. Sometimes, as you know, it just, and nowadays it just takes a parent or two, you know, they can, they have a lot of influence over their son. And I try to explain that, you know, especially when you have five outfielders, so to speak, and they're all pretty good. You know, the team a lot of times will buy in and say, hey, I know what you're doing. I agree. Can you just tell my parents? I had one kid tell me that one year. I understand totally. So I'll use that story. Or, you know, it's just, it is hard. I don't have an answer for that other than I try to be as upfront as what we're trying to do, stay extremely positive, and just, and try to develop their kid both on the baseball field and off. And hopefully they respect what you're trying to do. But I know, you know, as you know, that is a tough, that's a tough part, especially for young coaches. Yeah. I think that's one of the hardest things those first 5 years, if you can somehow manage to get through that.
So you've got a lot of years in, and throughout all of your experience, what have you learned most about God, and what have you learned about yourself?
What have I learned most is that things do not always go your way. And that, like I said, those first years, I kept just trying to do it all by myself, you know, and I finally surrendered and said, I need help. And I think that was part of that transformation. I was long about that time I met my wife, and she kind of reinforced that as well. You know, my spiritual life kind of, it picked up. There was a time single and just baseball, that doesn't work. There has to be something more. Right. Baseball, I'll tell people this all the time. Baseball is always going to let you down. You know, there's only going to be one team standing in the end. Every other team's going to wish they would have had one more. And I've had guys, we've never won the state title, but there's coaches that win the state title that say, hey, those problems are still there, even when you win it. Because, the next year expected to go back. So to strive for the state title is absolutely, it's a huge goal, and it's a lot of fun. And coaching kids is just such an honor. You know, I always tell people I've never worked a day in my life because I love doing this. I get up every morning and I can't wait to go to work. And a lot of times, you know, I want to stay. So, and kids know that. It's never been easy, but in the end, it was fun. And that's what I've learned, that I've really enjoyed it and I wouldn't trade it for anything. They'll be in a game. It'll be like with a really top ranked team and it might be the sixth inning tied 3-3. And I'll turn to some of the kids around me and say, you know, I get paid to do this. I hope you spend your life doing something you love to do. And they'll just look at me like, wow, you know, cause this is so fun. And not trying to say there's not other things that aren't fun. Just find your passion and devote your time to chasing your dreams, whatever that is. And don't forget, like I said, love God, love people, and remember those relationships.
So you mentioned your wife, and I know you have kids. How do you balance all of this with family?
You know, that is a key. I mean, that's tough. When I'm home, I'm home. On the weekend, I don't play a lot of golf, and I really don't spend a lot of time with friends outside of the coaching world and what I do at school. It's my kids and my wife come first when we're here, and it's not a lot because I also coach freshman football, so it's football and baseball and summer, right. And it's a big commitment. So I try to bring my kids along as much as I can. They'll be at practice, maybe over in the corner, or at a game, they'll sit right near me. And just trying to stay, text my wife on the bus. You know, 36 games in Kentucky is our regular season, which is a lot of late nights where I miss them. And it's a constant, you're thinking about it, you know, am I doing the right thing? And I've talked to other coaches who the value of your sons and daughters, seeing that you're doing what you love and the impact and that we're here on earth to serve others. I think that lesson is valuable. And like I said, when you're here though, you got to be here. Like I'm not watching TV. or I'm not on back on my phone, I'll turn my phone off. There'll be times like on the weekend, I just turn it off the whole weekend and somebody will go, hey, I tried to call you and I'm sorry. You know, I was with my kids and my wife. So, you know, spending that time together is super important.
That's really good. Guys need to hear that. And that's not to say that's easy.
No, it's not. And especially during the season, you're wanting to, you know, you're thinking about that game when you come home, when you lost it in the last inning, or did you make the right pitching change, or there's 1,000 people you need to talk to. So, but in those off, especially in the off season or in the summer, I have to just say, this is why I'm here. Or really spending that time with your kids, sitting down with them. We try to eat supper together when we're out of season, but my she's busy as well. So it's a juggling act. It's never perfect, but in the end, you just hope you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, so you've got a player, and he comes in as a freshman, and you've got him for 4 years. It's late May or early June, whatever it is, and you're sitting there at graduation, and you watch that young man walk across the stage and get a diploma. At that moment in time, what is it that you've hoped to accomplish with him?
It's all the things that we've kind of talked about. You know, did he reach his potential, not just as a player, but as a person? You know, what's his future? Where is he headed? Life after baseball, or maybe it is going to college to play baseball. You know, I hope he looks back, maybe not right that moment, because sometimes that's hard for a kid to understand what you were trying to do. But in 5 to 10 years, you get that call, or just you see him out and they say thank you. And it doesn't have to be that. It's just, you hope you did some kind of, you hope you impacted them in a positive way that down the road, it helps them throughout life. And, you know, if you can, it took me a long time to get there, but once you're there and you see the big picture, cause you know, I'm towards the end, you know, I don't have another 20 years of coaching. So you start wondering, you know, what is your impact? You know, what was this life all about? And those are the things that, you know, that come to mind. You know, obviously, like you said, you have to win. All those other things are super important. That's why you're constantly trying to learn. You know, I'm reading, going to conventions, podcasts. But you have to take a step back and try to reach each kid and then hope they, like I said, they reach that potential and have a good life. I think that's what our ultimate goal is as coaches.
Yeah, and if I could add, I mean, you mentioned earlier having mentors and just guys that you can talk to is so crucial.
I tell you what's also helped is I've had David Withers has been my assistant for 19 years. So, you know, in the beginning, I was kind of that guy all over him, and he'd come in behind him and go, hey, this is what he means. And he's probably still doing that now because I am relentless on effort and attitude. You know, I'm not going to let you throw your bat or yell at the umpire or not hustle to first. Like, I'm taking you out. So, I mean, that to me, that's still love. I mean, I love you as a person. No, you don't want to see yourself having guys like that. I've also had 4 other assistants that have been with me 5 years or more. And I think that makes a huge difference. And some of the guys that have left and started programs that were with me, I think finding guys that believe what you believe and will support what you do is also a difficult task.
Yeah, it's hard, but it's worth its weight in gold, man. If you're a young guy out there listening, the last thing you want on your coaching staff is a yes man.
Oh, no question. You need someone who will look at you and say, what are you doing?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to have – I've got 3 assistants, and they've all been with me 7-plus years. And, you know, I mean, I tell them that all the time. I want you to tell me straight up. If I'm doing something stupid, I want you to tell me I'm stupid.
And you would probably agree. I love to try – I let assistants do what they're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
So I try not to micromanage them. I give them some guidance, but you know, if you're the pitching coach and you're calling pitches, you call the pitches. Or and, you know what, if you got the infielders, sure, this is kind of what we're looking to do, but I need you to coach them up because it is hard. The head coach just is almost like the CEO nowadays, and you have to have good assistants.
Yeah, I mean, I would say to a young guy out there too, I felt like I had a pivot point. The day that I was able to secure a pitching coach and totally hand that over to him was so liberating, and I felt like I was a better coach on game day because he carried it, and I wasn't trying to juggle 3 different hats. You know, I was able to do what I needed to do, and I let him do what he needed to do.
Sure. I mean, and so we all work together, so You know, if some hitter might be, I'm not reaching a guy, someone else might step in. I mean, we have enough confidence in each other that and leaving our egos at the door, so to speak. That's been nice, is to have guys that you trust. And it's, yeah. And that's huge. And believe in what, like I said, when I say believe in what you're doing, just the mission of we're going to try to develop young men. We're going to play hard. And if a kid's not going to act right, then we need to get him out of there. We're not going to just keep him in to just try to win that one game, so to speak. And that's sometimes hard to find people that are willing to do that. But I've been really lucky.
Yeah. And even, I mean, you're talking about, you know, reaching a hitter, but you're talking about reaching a kid too. If I've got four guys on my staff that buy into the total program, I mean, that's four different guys that have a chance to reach that kid. I mean, I know you've got a lot of guys in your program, and even we've got 20 to 25. That's even a lot for one guy to reach every kid.
It is, and you're exactly right. So Coach Withers has a couple of them in class, and he's going to be a little closer to a certain kid, and I might be closer to this guy, and you hope that everyone is reached somehow. We both know that every year you don't get to – you know, you always wish you had more time. But it's a challenge. It's hard, but in the end, like you said, it's been a great honor and a joy. And I would tell anybody, a young coach who has a love for baseball, and especially for kids, that it is worth its weight in gold, what we're trying to do. And at the end, like I said, you don't look back and say, I wish I didn't do this. You look back and you're so happy that you had the chance to just, and as I told you, I need them more than they need me.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time. If guys, if you're in Kentucky, of course, we're in a small world, so it shouldn't even matter if you're in Kentucky or not. But if you're a young guy, I would highly encourage you to reach out to Coach Roof. I hope you don't mind me saying that. Words of wisdom. And is there a way, email, Twitter address, anything you want to throw out there?
Well, our Twitter address is MCHS_baseball. You can just Google Madison Central Baseball. And my email is steve.roof, R-O-O-F, at Madison, for Madison, M-A-D-I-S-O-N, .kyschools, with an S at the end, .us. Rather long, but reach out, and I definitely would like to connect. I'll probably end up asking more questions than you give me.
Well, Coach, again, thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, best of luck next season.
You too.
Thanks again for joining us on the show today. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast so we can reach as many coaches as possible with a word of encouragement. Never forget, your job is important. God loves you, and He has a plan for you. Continue to build tomorrow's leaders and stand firm in the faith.